So we're officially started now. So we are, and we are recording this call. A lot of you have muted yourself, which is cool. And if at one point you want to ask me a question, and if I'm not responding, that probably means you did mute yourself. And how you would unmute yourself and hit star 6 again, and that'll unmute you. That's the first thing. Second thing is, I want to welcome everybody that's on the call. I know we have some people that are calling overseas, and so you've woken up at different hours, so I want to thank you for doing that and being a part of the call. The purpose of this call is basically three things. So just to go over that real quick. Number one is to go over the Power Agent magazine. This is a magazine that's loaded on the Power Program website every month. And when you go to that site, there's I'll tell you where to find it. It's a little cumbersome to get to it. We are launching a new site in the next couple of weeks. So we finished it. We're just doing a couple of tests on it. But when you log into the Power Program website, the first thing you're going to see is it says Power Agent Classroom, and you would click on Power Agent Classroom. And then after the classroom, you would click on Monthly Call. And once you click on that, you'll see the magazine. The magazine is loaded there for today, September 9th.
I think it's being recorded, so when I need to hang up, I'll hang up.
What you'll do is you'll click on Power Agent Magazine and it'll launch a viewer, and then you can print out the magazine. You have to have a password. By the way, whoever had a child scream in the background, I'm going to ask you to hit star 6 on your keypad, and that'll mute you, okay? So whoever, thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. So it may not have been a child. It may have been an upset realtor. You know, tough month and all. Anyway, so the magazine, if you haven't gotten your username and password, we probably emailed it to you, but it went to a junk folder or something. It's always a problem for people. You can call my office at the end of this call, ask for your username and password, and they'll give it to you if you're an enrolled power agent. So don't get too uptight if you don't have it, especially if this is your first call. You're getting used to the whole process. Let's see what else. So that's the first thing we're going to do. The second thing we're going to do is I'm going to answer some questions that have been emailed to me ahead of time. For those of you that haven't, I recommend that you do that every month. Like I said, the new Rochelle Sure results that I just did, they were really great. A lot of emails have come through. And so I promise you I will cover all of your questions, those of you that have emailed me. Let's see. But the last part of the call is to really help you guys stay focused on here's what I think you should be doing perhaps in the next 30 days. So let's get started. And the first thing I want to do is I want to go over the magazine to get that out of the way. Now, for those of you that don't have the magazine open right now or you haven't printed it, don't get weirded out. Don't try and even do it now on the website. It may be too cumbersome. Just maybe make notes of the page number that I say and what I'm talking about and something that you want to maybe pay attention to when you get off the call. So the first part of the magazine, for those of you that are new to the call, is an interview from a power agent. I'm going to skip past the interview. I'm going to jump to page number 22. Page 22 of the Power Agent magazine is an article that I printed off the website from the, I think it was the New York Times, whereas I can't see it. My eyes are going, yeah. So it's the New York Times. And here's what it says. I'm going to read this to you. This is so awesome, okay? Colby Sobrato, the founder and former chief operating officer of ForSaleByOwner.com, a large website for owner sales, spent 6 months trying to sell his condominium himself through online listing and classified ads before turning it over to the listing of his 2,000-square-foot apartment to a broker at Bond, New York in November. So let me just make sure in case you got drifted, if you drifted there. The guy who created ForSaleByOwner.com tried for 6 months to sell his own property using his own software, and he couldn't sell it. He finally gave the listing to a full-fledged real estate broker to sell it for him. By the way, this apartment is in New York City. The broker's name is Jesse Buckler, And here's what he told this guy who created For Sale by Owner. He told him his price was too low, so he wasn't attracting the right buyers. So by May, which was just about 2 months after he gave it to him, the agent actually attracted multiple offers. It just closed a few days ago. So from May to now, it just closed a few days ago for $150,000 more than the original asking price that this For Sale by Owner.com guy was trying to sell it for. And then the article says, at first, he wouldn't let me increase his price. I told him, I know what I'm doing. The market is picking up, and he wound up selling. This article that I've given you is so incredibly awesome to show a homeowner who is a for sale by owner, telling them, listen, selling on your own, selling, even the guy who created the forsalebyowner.com website, couldn't even get his own property sold. Why? Because it's not about just putting an ad out in the paper and putting a for sale sign on the front lawn. You have to know how to market in order to sell a property. And that's what real estate agents learn. And here, I always love this, to say to a homeowner, listen, if real estate agents did not provide value, there would not be so many of us in the market. So the fact that there are so many of us, we must bring something to the table of value that a traditional homeowner may not be aware. As a matter of fact, the homeowner may not know what they don't know. And you can even do that whole blind spot thing. Like when you're learning how to drive a car, you know, until you're taught blind spot, you don't know blind spot. Like if there was a car in the blind spot, you wouldn't know that there was a car, and you wouldn't know that you didn't know that the car was there. But once you learn blind spot, then you always know there is the possibility of a car being there. Well, that's realtors. Realtors, there's things that we know that the homeowner doesn't know, and the homeowner doesn't even know that they don't know it. Why? Because they weren't taught to drive a car the way a realtor does. A real estate agent in the state of New York, for example, has to go through, I think, unless it's changed, because it's been a while for me, at least 45 hours to get their property sold. I think in Texas it's a lot more. So you're all different states. The point is it's not 5 hours. Whatever your hours are, I'd say that to a homeowner. Being a real estate agent and learning how to be a real estate agent is like a teenager learning how to drive. And one of the most important distinctions is that blind spot. There's things that you don't know that you don't even know. This For Sale by Owner guy is a perfect example. I love this article, powerful article. Bring it on a listing appointment. Second page here, page 23. By the way, like I said, gang, some of you called in a little late. Those of you that emailed me your questions, like Yael and who else do I got? Better Homes and Garden. No, it was Houlihan Lawrence. You guys had your own office meeting. You all asked me the same darn question. You're so funny. I promise you I'm going to answer everybody's questions. So hang in. I'm just going to finish the magazine. All right. So page 23 in the magazine is a great flyer to show a homeowner on a listing appointment about broker's open house. So I really just like that. Page 24, there's a picture of the broker standing in front of one of those photo lobby picture boards that he has in his lobby. Now, your office may not have that, but I wanted to show you there's two good things about this. First of all, the product, I think the idea of the product is really good. But what's really, regardless of the product, showing the homeowner real pictures of your office is just a really smart idea. It adds more credibility. It's almost like saying there's an office behind this person that's sitting in front of you. So it's powerful in that respect. Page 25 is a fax-back opinion sheet. And what I really loved about this was the questions. Thank you for this. Is what you would take this form and you would fax this to an agent who shows one of your listings right after they show it. And just to give you an idea, this says here, thank you for showing my listing mentioned above on December 15th. I value your professional opinion. I really appreciate your feedback. And then the agent fills out a few questions. What do you think the showing of the condition of the property was? What were your buyer's comments? What's your comments? What do you think about the price? And is there anything I need to do to help sell the property more quickly? I want to tell you a couple of things about this opinion, this fax back opinion sheet. Number one is it's great When you are a listing agent, your audience who you're trying to market to, promote to, is fellow realtors. You want to get the realtors excited about your property. So if that's true, then after an agent shows one of your listings, to get feedback from the agent and, of course, from their buyers with this form is a good marketing idea for you to know what your agents that you're trying to motivate, what they think about your property. But the other thing that's really great about this, which I love even more, is it is a great listing page when it comes to talking to expireds. One of the biggest complaints expireds have about their previous listing agent is that they never got feedback after showings. Any of you have had listings before, you know homeowners sometimes would call you after a showing and they would say, you know, well, I think the buyers liked it. What do you think? Can you call the other agent who showed the house? Like, they want to get the feedback. By the way, whoever's moving right now, we can hear it. It's really sensitive. So what you want to do is you can show a homeowner an expired. Listen, every time somebody shows your house that's from another real estate company, I'm going to fax them this form, and they'll fax it back. Now, they don't always fax it back, but at least I'm going to try and attempt to get the feedback so I can share it with you. That one technique probably will get a listing for you. One of the agents, power agents from New Rochelle, you had asked me, I think it was the New Rochelle class, you had asked me how to differentiate yourself from some of the top big listers. That page 25 is an example. Page 26, we'll skip over. Page 27 in the magazine, I'm going to read this. It's pretty awesome. There's a couple of things you can do with this. It says client list of sales. This is, first of all, for those of you who don't have the magazine in front of you, this is a list of a whole bunch of clients that this agent has worked with. It has the agent's, the client's name, the address of the property, and the phone number of that person. And here's what it says at the top. This is a complete list of people I've sold homes for over the past few months. You are welcome to call any of these people and ask questions about me. Please keep in mind that this list does not include buyers. It's just sellers. Questions you might ask them. And what's awesome about this is this agent actually gives the questions that this person can ask these past sellers. Did you interview other agents before you hired Jim? What was it like working with Jim? Was he responsive? Did he do what he promised? I mean, this is really so I love this page. There's a lot of great pages in this magazine this month, but this here, this is a great mailing piece. You can mail this page. You know, obviously you're going to put your clients and their address and phone number. But you can take this concept, do a mailing with it. You can bring it on a listing appointment. You can use it as an objection handling on a listing appointment. You can use it as the beginning of your listing appointment, saying, listen, before we get started, I want to give you a list of all my past clients, because I know you've talked to agents before. They probably come and tell you how wonderful they are, and which is probably true. But I wanted to at least do a little bit more and give you a list of people that you should, if you want, you can call them. Here's even the questions to ask them, so that way you're not taking my word. You can take it from a fellow homeowner. So that's page 27. Page 28, 29, these are handwritten testimonials. I love this. Handwritten testimonials from buyers and sellers. What's great about it is because it's handwritten, they're quick, they're little notes, and I put a suggestion there. I said, you know what, I would have these people give them a piece of paper, a napkin or something, at the closing table and just write a little testimonial about, hey, Kathy, thanks for helping me, you're wonderful, you're the best person we have. I just love that idea. Okay, so those are 28 and 29. Now, page 30, 31 and 32, gang, this is what this – let me see how we're doing on time. Okay, good. By the way, are you guys have any questions so far? Because I'm rattling here, and I'm excited about what I got. Any questions
now,
though, so
sorry,
far?
Sorry, Mastriani, yeah. And I know I kicked in late, and I apologize, but where
I'm
do you
sorry.
Get this magazine on the site? It says Classroom, and then what do?
Yeah. When you click on Classroom, hon, then the next thing to click on – I'm going to kill my IT guy because we have the new website. We're ready to launch it, and I haven't heard back from him yesterday. But after you click on Classroom, the first link, it says monthly call, schedule, and recordings.
Yes.
Yeah, click on that, hon. And then after you click on that, you will wind up on the page where the magazine is. You need to scroll down a little bit, just a little bit.
So when you
scroll
down, enter information.
Yeah, you have to log in first, hon. So you got to log in with your username and password. If you don't have it, call my office after the call, okay?
All right, thanks. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's all right. You're not the only one. Okay. Now, by the way, somebody's got a little static on their end, so or noise, so you may want to hit *6. That'll mute you, and then we won't hear that noise. Okay, now, page 30. Page 31 and 32. By the way, hon, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call you hon. Who was that that just talked with? Doreen?
Yep.
Doreen, and anybody else that just called in, if you don't have the magazine open in front of you, just write down the page number of what I'm saying, and when you get into the site, look at the magazine and look at the page that you wrote down, okay? Page 30, 31, and 32. What this agent did is they created a 8.5 by 11, if you can do a Word document, and they summarized their marketing tools that they use. Now, let me just tell you how to use this, and then I'll read a couple examples of it. You can do this as a mailing piece. You can do it as a drop-off piece. You can do it as when you go on a listing appointment to leave it with them if you don't get the listing. There's a lot of great little things to do with this. And I really love how they did it because they broke it up into three categories, one, two, three, four categories. They said, here's the traditional marketing that I do. And then it talks about stuff like MLS, brochure, a brochure box on the outside of the house, the picture board, blah, blah, blah. Then it has non-traditional items. And then this agent talks about we have an exclusive mailing list, and he explains what that is. Our broker's open house, here's how we do it. It's a different, non-traditional from how other agents do it. I even like number 22. He wrote agent's rapport, and he talks about how he strives to motivate other agents to show and sell the houses through the many personal contacts. So, and he even says, I don't use an assistant. Then he says a category of relocation. Here's some of the relocation tools, and then here's the personal attention tools. He gives showing tips to his homeowner, the easy accessibility. This is Jim Broden. This was really great what he did. I really want you to take a look at page 30
31.
To 33, and you can model this. It's really quite awesome. Page 34 has an example of a closing gift. I love this as a closing gift or a housewarming gift. It's a bag. Imagine a satchel or a sports bag, okay, that you have printed up with your company logo, your contact information. By the way, if you want to know where to get bags like that, if you look on the yellow pages or you Google advertising premiums, that's the term that the industry uses, you'll find these companies that create, you know, pens and pencils and pads and rulers where you can put your name and slogans on them. And one of those things would be a duffel bag. And in the duffel bag, you can put in plates and cups and napkins and soda, some water, soap, toothbrush, toothpaste, blah, blah, blah. So when people are, the day when they're moving into their new home, it's usually hard to find some of these things. So this would be their moving bag or their, you know, housewarming bag. I just love the idea. I will tell you why I also love the idea. First of all, it's unique. Hang on a second. There's a little noise in the background. I'll fix that, though. What's that, hon? All right, let me see if I can. I'm gonna mute some people and
Monday.
Okay. Now, what I love about this. Hang on a second. I'm gonna mute everybody in that way. Okay. So by the way, everybody's muted now. So if you have any questions, you'll have to hit *6 to unmute yourself. Okay. So now you're just hearing me and nobody else. So I'll let you talk, but you just gotta hit *6 to open up your line. Okay. Now. What I love about page 34 as far as this duffel bag is, I don't know about you guys, but whenever I get some of those free little satchels or bags, whether it's at a convention or, you know, when I do a marathon, they'll give you a bag. I never seem to throw these things away, and I have a closet full of these bags. And every so often, I do need a bag for something, you know, that, you know, if I'm going somewhere and I just want to throw some things in it, you know, and I'll go in that closet and I'll search through the best size bag for based on the amount of stuff that I have. So my point in sharing that is I think a lot of households, they like these canvas type of bags that they are useful for a bunch of things. So there's, you call that a shelf life, meaning that it's an item that people won't throw away and they'll keep for years. So I really love that idea as a housewarming. Okay, page 35 and 36 is some samples of flyers and postcards promoting the holidays. You know, we're coming towards, like on page 35, it talks about the pumpkin giveaway that this office did. And if you're thinking of doing any kind of holiday promotion, whether it's Halloween or Christmas or Thanksgiving or Hanukkah, whatever, New Year's, you need to start thinking about it now and planning it now because you're going to need the time. Hey, I got an idea that's not even in the brochure in the magazine. Let me tell you, I just thought of this. Cool. Now, one of our clients from years ago, Howard Hanna Real Estate in Pittsburgh, Helen Hanna, I heard her with this idea and I thought it was an incredible idea. She said this like 10 years ago. I'll never forget it. What she told her agents to do is to buy Halloween bags, okay, little candy bags. Now, they're small bags, like the size of your hand, okay? And she had them pre-printed, you know, with the company name and logo and phone number. And then, I just love this, she put the candy and the stuff in these little bags. And when the kids would come to the house, she would give them the bag of candy, but it has the little promotional thing on the front about the company. Now, what I loved, the concept was this. This is what Helen said, and this is why I'll never forget it. She said, Halloween is the one time a year where your farm area knocks on your door versus you knocking on theirs. I love that distinction. So if you were to Google Halloween bags, you will find companies that you can buy these little bags where they'll print your message on it. And then instead of just throwing candy loose in the bag when the kids come to your door, you put them in these little bags and you tie them up. You can also use them, you know, when you're meeting clients for the first time, you give that to them too. I mean, you know, they're going to throw the bag away, but, you know, it's just a little something-something if you've got extra bags laying around. All right, page 37, brilliant idea. It says, it's a fax. It says, to Joe Realtor, new listing. You recently showed a co-op banker listing comparable to my new listing at blah, blah, blah. Here's the MLS number, bedrooms, baths. What was great about this is when an agent would show one of the listings that this office or this agent had that was similar to another listing, he would let them know and point it out and highlight it via fax, or in this case, now we can start doing email. So I thought that that was a great idea. All right, let me jump past. There's some other stuff, but I can keep going on. I really love this magazine. I put a lot of stuff in the magazine this month. By the way, those of you that this is your first time on the call, these magazines have so much. Sometimes they have like a lot of stuff, like this month does. Don't think like you have to use them all. Like I can almost overwhelm you with, like, I'm trying to give you, like, you know, you're $27 a month. I'm trying to give you like 2,000 every month. So, but don't use it all because you'll get your, or think you have to because you'll get overwhelmed and then you won't use anything. If you use just one or two, three pages from the whole magazine, which, you know, the magazine is 40, 50, 60 pages sometimes, that's worth it. It's more important that you implement one or two items, maybe three items, than not to implement anything at all. And you won't implement anything at all if you think you have to implement everything. Okay. So, page 44, there's so much. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Page, I'm not even going to go over these. You're going to look at them yourself. Page 44 starts on visuals to use in front of buyers, telling them why now's a good time to buy. For example, this shows that interest rates are hovering a near-time low on page 44. Page 45, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, things are improving. Page 47, home ownership is still the American dream. There's a chart that shows why it's a great time to buy. Then still a buying opportunity, but not for long, is on page 46. Then there's some visuals for sellers. Like on page 50, the Wall Street Journal, the housing market is still very weak. So I showed you both sides of the coin. There's good and bad, because when you're talking to buyers, when you're talking to sellers. I'm not going to go. There is one. Let me see some here. Foreclosure. Yeah. Are coming onto the market. All right, I will just point out this one last thing, and then I'm going to go to the email questions that I got. And some of you asked questions about expired dialogue and how to work expired, so I'm going to lead with that in just a second. This last page, 52 in the magazine, it says foreclosed properties are now coming onto the market. Not good news at all for sellers. Now, according to an article that I discovered August 25th, and also from Realty Track Statistics, it's basically saying we're seeing more of these foreclosed homes. They're now starting to come onto the market. Now, for the past few years, since the bubble busted, I think everybody on this call has heard the phrase shadow inventory. A lot of homeowners have not heard the term shadow inventory when we were first were talking about shadow inventory. But now even the general public knows about shadow inventory. Well, now that shadow inventory is becoming less of a shadow, meaning they're now starting to come onto the market and they're coming for sale. This page 52 explains to a homeowner, you know what? This is when these things start coming onto the market like they're starting to, and the more that come onto the market, the more it's going to drive down the current price of the traditional homeowner. Now, what's the point? The point is you need to price your property aggressively. You need to get it sold now before the dam breaks and you have all these properties coming out for sale. Okay. Now, with that said, let me jump to the email questions I've gotten. Before I do, let me just see if anybody has questions about what I covered. If you do, you're going to have to hit *6 to unmute yourself because everybody is currently muted. That's why it sounds so quiet. Anybody got a question? No? Good. Let's go on. Let's see. Who are these people here? You should see me. I'm putting on glasses. I feel like a little grandfather here. Claire Hutch, Margarita Eccleston, Joella Delberto, Rosanna Duval. Like all you guys, you all must have had a meeting because you all asked the same question. In our area, we have more expireds than FSBOs. We need letters and dialogues to use with homeowners that where their listings expire. So let me do, I'm just looking, we're commercial, probably most of the owners want to sign a listing, they want to work open listings, even though I sold a few. Oh, you know what, Rosanna, your question's a little bit different about open listings. So let me first deal with the expired question. On the new website, gang, there is going to be letters for expired listings, okay? But you know what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to post it on the new website. You know what? I think I'm just going to email it to you. I'm going to email you either the link to where the letters are, or I'll just keep it I'll give it to you as a PDF. I'll figure out the way to do that, and I'll do it by Monday. I'll work on it this weekend for you. When the new website is launched, you'll find it. It'll be there for you, but I don't want you to wait because in case there's a problem. So number one is I'll give you the letters for expireds, which are not in any manual that some of you have with me. It's new stuff. Second thing, let's talk about the dialogue, okay? When calling an expired, here's how you want to do this, and I need somebody to role play with me. So could somebody unmute themselves and be an expired? Hit *6, somebody, and I need to do this live. So somebody do that. Come on, don't be shy. Come on, who's going to step up? whoever steps up is going to probably make more money this year because they're aggressive. So some star six, hit star six on your phone. No one's doing it. Okay. So you're all just going to listen. All right. Let me see. Hang on a second. I know how to do this. Let me see here.
Daryl, I'll do it.
There we go.
Are you guys still on?
Okay, there we go, Daryl.
Are you all still there? Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, now you hear everybody.
Unmute. We're not all allowed to unmute.
Oh, you're not allowed to unmute?
No, correct.
Okay.
So we can replay now.
All right, listen. Okay, well, I'm glad you guys tried it. I didn't know that. Everybody, you got to hit star six again. Otherwise, we're going to have, except the person who's going to role play with me.
let's role play, Daryl.
Okay, good. Thank you. Hold on 1 second.
Right.
I got some kids in the background. Yep. What's your name, sir?
Bill Rapp.
Bill. I'm gonna role play with Bill. So everybody else, just kind of mute yourself. And good. You know what, Bill? Give me a second.
Yep.
I'm sorry, gang, because I got another idea. This is a new technology for me. Bill, what's your phone number?
307.
That you're calling from.
Okay. I'm on a system phone, so I can give you my cell phone.
Well, no. The phone number you're calling from now, because I can see the phone number, so I can mute everybody except you if I know what your phone number is.
Oh, great. It's a 307 area code.
All right. I'll find a 307. Okay, good. But right now, the
672.
Call, I see it. Okay. 307. Hang on a second. I'm going to mute everybody. Stay right there, Bill.
Sure.
Hang on, gang. I'm just trying something here. Bill, are you there? Bill? Damn. Hold on. Oh, you know what? It's not letting me do it. Ah, crud. Okay. Sorry, gang. Hang on. I'm sorry. Be patient with me. I thought I could do this, and it's a new technology, and it's not working. So, question and answer. Don't do that. Hang on a second. I see what I did. I screwed it up. Okay, I understand.
Okay, I'm unmuted now.
All right, good. All right. You there, Bill?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
All right, great. Okay, good.
Beautiful.
All right, gang, I know what happened is I made it where you couldn't even unmute yourself, and so now we fixed that. Okay, you're still with me, Bill?
I'm here.
All right, so after I'm done with Bill, anybody wants to unmute themselves to ask a question, you'll be able to do it now. I messed that up, so I apologize. So, Bill, you're an expired, so we're going to go through the dialogue. Now, by the way, everybody listening in, we're recording this, okay? We've been recording the whole call. So this recording will be posted on the website if you want to listen to it again later. And you can make a mental note so you don't have to listen to the whole recording that it's about 30 minutes into this call is when we're actually doing this role play. So, Bill,
yes.
So I call you and you're an expired. Ring, ring.
Hello, this is Bill.
Hi, Bill. This is Daryl Davis from Power Realty. How are you?
I'm doing very fine. How are you today?
Good, Bill. Bill, the reason why I was calling is I noticed that your house expired off to the multiple listing service, and I was wondering, is it still for sale?
You know, I would really like to sell it, but I am so frustrated with the process. It's taken a lot longer than I really expected.
Oh, yeah. I so can appreciate that. Selling the house is, you know, it's emotional moving to begin with, but then when you're dealing with all the buyers and the real estate agents and everything else, and then not having it sell, it could be a little traumatic and emotional. I totally understand that.
Oh, my gosh. And you have to keep the house clean and take care of the pets for the showings. You know, it's almost not worth it. I'm kind of decided just to stay where I'm at.
Well, Bill, let me ask you a question. Now, by the way, gang, this is great what Bill just said. Bill just said, I decided to stay where I am because that makes this a harder call, which is good because I want to show you how to deal with when it's harder. So, Bill, I totally understand. Let me ask you, where were you planning on moving to?
You know, there's this great new subdivision here in town. My wife's had her heart set on the house, and she's already kind of set up the whole thing how she would imagine living there, but I just don't see it happening. I don't think anybody's buying houses today.
Mm. So is it, which subdivision is that?
It's the Powderhorn.
Oh, okay. That no. Well, it's that's really actually they've got some great models over there. What do you know? Which model she was picking? What would she like?
You know, it's one that's right over on the ninth hole of the golf course, and
wow.
It's a great location. Beautiful views of the mountains here, the Bighorn Mountains in Wyoming, and it's just gorgeous.
Now, Bill, are you the golfer, or is she the golfer, or neither? You just like the mountain view.
Well, we both play. It's a team sport.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now, let me ask you, Bill, was this going to be your final house, do you think, or like maybe retiring it, or no?
You know, I think this will be. We're looking for something that's a little bit easier for us to maintain. They've got a great HOA over there. They'll take care of all the lawn care and exterior maintenance. And you know, it's one of those where we can kind of have a nice recreation lifestyle as we move towards retirement. Single-level living, reducing the multiple levels in the stairs. It just would be easier for us as we continue to age.
Now, by the way, gang, let me just stop the role play because I want to point out what I was doing with Bill. What happens on a psychological level, especially with an expired, see, the FSBO and the expired are two different, there's two different psychologies going. For the for sale by owner, the psychology there is there's an arrogance, a toughness. It's like, I don't need a realtor, poo-poo-poo. Realtors are just used car salespeople. I can do this myself. So there's the psychology there, which actually makes that call tougher. The expired, they've already seen the value of listing with an agent, or at least they saw the value of not doing it on their own. So they're a little bit more open, but they're also perhaps more discouraged because they went through the process. And what's real interesting, for most expireds, they take their house not selling as a personal rejection, and they get very frustrated. So what I was doing with Bill, and that's the important part about the expired, is that you want to get them out of the box of frustration, realtors don't keep promises, blah, the market is horrible. Get them out of the box of that thinking and get them in the space of their next level of moving. And how I did that was asking Bill to tell me about where was his next level, where was he going to. And the more he would share with me about the lovely living and the views of the mountain, and we both love golf, what I'm doing is I'm moving him from, oh, this was bad, we didn't sell our house, to, you know what, we really would still like to move. And once I get into that place, then I'm going to ask for the appointment. So back to the role play. So, Bill, let me ask you this. I mean, it sounds like you really would have loved to make this move, and it's horrible to, like, just lose that dream. If I could get your property sold so you can move over to the Hunahuna subdivision and it worked for you financially, would you reconsider about selling your house?
You know, we would have to give it some thought. My wife and I, we are frustrated. And the last agent told us they were going to be able to sell it. We've done price reductions and open houses. It's just not gone like we thought.
I understand. But if you could get moved over there, if you had a magic wand, that's what you'd want. Like,
absolutely.
Really? Yeah. All right, why don't we do this? Why don't we find the time that I can at least come over and see what you have, and maybe I can see why the property didn't sell. Because I'm looking at a copy of the listing, and the house sounds really beautiful, and quite frankly, I'm a little shocked that it didn't sell. So if I think that I can't help you get the property, so I promise to tell you in the first 5 minutes, because quite frankly, I don't want you to waste your time anymore. I don't want to waste my time. But if I think I can, I'll tell you that too, okay? Listen, we got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Does that make sense?
That sounds fair enough.
All right, great. And that's how you do that call. Now, Bill, do you have any comments or questions about it, being that we role play?
No. Sounds excellent.
Okay,
great approach, and I like the refocus, actually, taking them off of their frustration and putting them back onto their dream.
Yeah, if you, and I like how you just said that, if you try and close for the appointment with an expired, like just call and say, can I come over and see your house? No, we're not selling. Oh, really? Well, if you change your mind, please call me. That's so weak. It's There's an old rule of thumb about sales. You have two ears and one mouth. You should communicate in that proportion. Listen twice the amount of speaking you do. When you ask a lot of questions, you're building rapport. But more importantly, you're bringing to the surface what people are committed to. And Bill and everybody else on the call, I've said this a lot of times, that we always look at a house most of us as realtors, we think the end result. I was just in Lancaster, Pennsylvania yesterday, and this really hit home when I said this to the people, that we look at our job as selling the house, and that's the job that we're supposed to do, that that's the end result that people want, and that's really not it. Selling the house is not the end result. Selling the house is a means to an end. The end result, like in your role play scenario, Bill, that end result was getting into the new home, looking at the views, and being able to play golf whenever you want. That's the next level. The selling the house is a means to the end. So a lot of us, we need to bring to the surface, what is the true end result people are looking to accomplish? Is it a job transfer? Is it a bigger house? Is it a smaller house? Is it financial because they can't afford to live in the current home, et cetera, et cetera. So, Bill, thanks. You can stay unmuted because you did a great job. All right.
Thank you.
Rosanna, does anybody have any questions about that role play before I move on to the other questions that were emailed to me? All right. Next question is Rosanna Delval. You asked, I work with commercial properties or multifamily. Most of the owners want me to sign a listing. They want me to work as an open listing, even though I sold a few of them, and I want to convince them to sign exclusive. Help me. Now, that question was similar to, let me go to another email I got, and that is, I don't know if you're still on the, oh, no, that's you're the same person. Okay, that's why the question is the same. You sent it two different emails, Rosanna, so I guess you really want to know it. So here's what you do. What you would do, Rosanna, are you on the call, by the way? If you are, hit *6 to take yourself off the mute. One more time. Are you there, Rosanna? Rosanna, are you there? Rosanna? Okay, I think you pressed the buttons wrong. If you hit *6 again, Rosanna, I think it'll work. Are you there? Rosanna? Okay. Rosanna, just listen. I think you're hitting the buttons like too fast or something. It just hit *6 nice and slow, but together. But let me just do this with you. You just sit and listen. There's two things about when people tell you any of us that get that question where they say, just bring me a buyer and I'll pay you a commission. I don't want to sign anything exclusive. When you get that, here's a great analogy to handle it. You say, well, let's say, you know, Bill, and I'd like to role play with you while you're still available. Is that okay, Bill?
That's fine.
So, Bill, let me ask you something. Let's pretend that you had a daughter. Do you have a daughter, by the way?
I have three.
Okay, great. Well, let's say, how old are they, by the way?
25, 17, and 15.
All right, so 25-year-old married yet?
Just married to me.
Okay, so now I'm assuming, Bill, and I'm just going to make some assumptions, that when you went to when you wanted to pay for this wedding, you had you wanted a wedding cake, so you went to a bunch of bakers, okay?
Right.
And let's pretend, Bill, you said to six bakers, listen, I want the best wedding cake you guys could bake, and I'm going to all six of you. Now, I'm only going to buy one. So whoever bakes me the best cake, that's the cake I'm going to buy. Here's my question, Bill. How many of those bakers are actually going to roll up their sleeves, start baking a cake for you?
None of them.
Exactly, because you didn't make a commitment to any one baker. When you say to the real estate community, you know what, I ain't signing with anybody. Bring me a buyer, and that's the one I'm going to pay a commission to. It's like saying the same thing to bakers. Whoever produces the best result, that's the one I'm going to pay. But the problem with that is you do not have any one agent rolling up their sleeves getting to work to bake you the best result. So you need to make that choice. You need to make commitment to that one agent. Now, if it's not me, then that's fine. But you need to find that one baker who's going to commit to you because you committed to them. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
You can't have a double standard, right? If you want a commitment from somebody to give 110%, you need to give them a commitment too.
Yep.
And here's the other thing, Rosanna and whoever else that this applies to. If you practice buyer agency quite a bit in your marketplace, that's the other downfall. I'm going to give you actually two more. when you say whoever brings me the buyer, that's the one I'll pay. Well, the problem with that is in the markets where you practice buyer agency a lot, is that most likely those agents are coming into the property, not representing the homeowner, but representing the buyer. So here's what you're saying, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana. You're saying, here, I'm willing to pay an agent who's licensed and trained by the state to work against me. Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense. If you're willing to pay an agent part of the fee for bringing a buyer and selling it, why don't you just pay the other couple of points more so that way you'll get the best of both worlds? You'll get the buyer coming into your property, but you'll also have an agent looking out for your best interest. That's like going to court. That's like going to court as a defense person. You're on the defensive, and you're paying the prosecutor's attorney. That doesn't make any sense. So I love that technique. Here's the third thing about this. Now, this one's a little aggressive, and a lot of you may not use it unless you're in the tri-state area, and I mean that sincerely because this is aggressive, this one, okay? What most homeowners don't know is that we earn our fee when we bring a buyer who's ready, willing, and able, okay? Which means, legally and technically, a real estate agent has earned their fee before contract. Once we bring the buyer to the seller and the price has been accepted and negotiated and agreed upon, verbally or otherwise, because we're in a service business, we've earned our fee to be paid right then. Now, what we do in our industry is we choose to defer payment till closing because that's when we have a written agreement. But in the absence of a written agreement, we could technically demand that we get paid. And in some states, if what you could do, now, I don't think New York is one, but in some states, for a fact, I know this, you can actually put a mechanics lien on a property because we are in a service business just like a contractor is in the service business, which means that it couldn't close unless that lien was taken care of. Now, why is that relevant? Here's why. Because when a homeowner does a listing where they don't sign and they say to agents and they say to the real estate community, bring me a buyer and that's who I'll pay a commission to, the challenge is what happens if you have two agents from two different companies bring you a buyer that's ready, willing, and able, and then you decide to pick one and not the other? Well, the other agent is still entitled to a fee. My point is a homeowner could be liable for two commissions. Now, like I said, that's very aggressive, and that's not a technique that you could use because obviously you could put a homeowner in a very defensive position, and they could almost look at us as like, in a negative light. So I'm not saying to use that one, but in some cases you could, and I just wanted to make you aware of it. Okay, now let's go on. Let's see what else we have here. Oh, this one, I promise, I'm interested. Okay, now, this was from Advertise Full Page. Okay, this was from Noreen from Better Homes and Garden Rand Realty. If Noreen, if you're on the phone, you can hit *6 and unmute yourself, and hopefully you'll press the buttons in the right way. And if you want to talk to me. And here's her question. I'm a seasoned agent.
Hi, Daryl.
Hi, hon. Are you there, Noreen?
Yes, I am.
All right, sweetie. Great. So let me read a question for everybody. You're a seasoned agent going on a listing of presentations two towns over. We do not have an office where that listing is. Our marketing plan blows everyone else out of the water, but we don't have a presence in that town, and we don't have listings there. How do I handle that objection? Also, what if I'm a brand new agent? I have a corporate customer service experience or have managed large numbers of people. How do I have the power of the brand behind me, but I haven't done any business yet because no one's given me a chance? So, Noreen, here's what I'd suggest. So, Noreen, are you a new agent with no track record in real estate?
No, I'm the first one, and we have two agents on the call here that are the second part.
Oh, I got it. Okay, Noreen. So for any of the agents who are brand new and they don't have any backing behind them to for people to give them a break, here's the best technique I can give you all. is ask your broker or some agents in your office if you can advertise in the paper, the Penny Savers, Harmon Homes, or the real estate book, their listings so you can get some buyers, okay? And so let's imagine you're in the real estate book and you have like six listings that you're advertising in a full page, half page ad. Now, the full page would be better. It's going to be more expensive. But watch what I'm going to tell you to do. So let's say you advertise for a couple of months, or better yet, in 1 month, you advertise in Harmon Homes, another month, the same month, the Real Estate Magazine, the Penny Savers. So now you got three different publications, and you advertise a full page. When you go on a listing appointment, you would show the homeowner that, you know, one of the things I do is I do this type of marketing. I make sure I advertise an exclusive real estate publication like the Real Estate Magazine, the Harmon Homes. I also do it in the Penny Savers. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When you show that to a FSBO or to a homeowner, they're not going to ask you how long have you been in real estate, because they're going to assume that those are your listings. What are you saying, honey? I can hear you, darling. Okay, yeah, all right. So when you advertise and show that to a homeowner, they're going to think you've been in the business for years when you show them all those types of ads. Are you with me, Noreen?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it is a great idea. All right, thank you, though. All right, here's another one. As far as the other town, let me ask you, Noreen, this other listing that you're trying to get that's two towns over, is the average sales price higher or lower than where you do have a presence?
Same.
Okay. Here's what I would say to a homeowner. You say, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, when you're looking to hire an agent, here's what happens. When the agent puts the ad in the paper, the buyer that's looking for that house in that town, they don't know where that office is, because it's way it's listed in the paper is where the house is, not where the office is. So when I advertise, it doesn't matter if my office is two towns or 20 towns away, we're still going to attract the same buyers. But let me tell you something that most people overlook. There's another group of buyers that we're going to get, and those are the ones that walk into our office. See, you, where your house is located, I call it our sister town. Why? Because the price range is exactly the same. But when you advertise with when you hire a real estate company that's in the same town as your house, they're going to only get the buyers that are coming to your town. Whereas in my case, I'm going to attract the buyers that are looking in your town because of the advertising we're doing, but we're also getting the buyers that are walking in my office looking in a different town, and when they don't like something we've shown them, we bring them to the sister town. My point is, if you're going to hire an agent, you want to make sure you hire an agent that's not in your town, because you're going to get more marketing coverage. You're going to get more exposure. Does that make sense, Noreen?
Yes, totally.
Yeah, so there you go. So you're actually not even explaining why it's good that they list with you, but you're actually telling them, don't list with a local company. Yeah, I know, it's good. All right, now, let's see. We've got here, I've got two more emails to address, okay? So we've got 5 minutes to the call. So let me finish these two emails. I've got, let's see, who is this from? Oh, Yael. Yael, I don't know if you're on the call from New Place Realty. Here's what she said. She said that having trouble. Oh, hi, Yael. Okay, so you're having trouble getting clients to adjust their price, and they'll only do it if you adjust your commission.
Right.
And you already told me about that. And you also, the time management issue right now with your daughter's wedding is in L.A. next week. You need help to focus. I'm being yanked in a lots of different directions in two time zones. I love how you wrote that. Now, I know other people on this call sometimes feel yanked by a lot of different things, so this is going to help them, EIL. And let me tell you about this this homeowner. So I know you may want to role play this a little bit, but I got to get to the other question. Too. So I'm going to bottom line it with you, okay?
Yep.
First of all, you have to understand some homeowners, everybody, they just sometimes just want to dip into your pocket and they're not going to be reasonable. So no matter what analogy you use or no matter what you say to them, they still just want to stick it to you. And when that happens, just stop trying to fight it. Stop trying to beat your head up against the wall, trying to convince them. Just know that they're being jerks. Some people are jerks and you just can't help them not be jerks. You know, you want to try, and if you don't succeed, you just got to say, oh, that's it. I can't do it anymore. Second thing I want to say about it, I would say to them, what does my commission have to do with lowering the price? So in other words, if you're willing to take the lower price only if I take a lower commission, why does my commission have anything to do with the price? Why is that? Now, Yael, are they going to say, well, is it because if we're taking less, you should take less? Is that probably what they're going to say to you?
Well, they actually, I mean, we did the math, and the difference in my commission with the price adjustment is about $550. But to them, it's like almost $12,000. And they're counting what money is going in their pocket. And, you know, they're like, well, you know, it's been great, and we can release you from the listing if you want, but we want to stick firm at where we are. So
okay.
Not really.
So, but wait a second. So they're willing to lower their price, but only if you take a $500 hit.
No. If I take a full point off of my commission.
Okay. Okay. And why do they want you to take the full point off your commission?
Because they figure they're going to have less money in their pocket. They're calculating that if they sell at that new asking price, they'll have almost $12,000 less in their pocket.
I see. So it's a matter of their concern about their finances, so they want you to take less. Okay.
Yeah.
So here's what they first have to understand is, what is the alternative? Okay. Is the alternative is that to save money is maybe they should just sell on their own. But the first thing they need to wrap their brain around the fact is there's either selling on your own or selling with a realtor. And if they sell on their own, they're going to actually lose even more money. And so they need to see that you are not costing them money. Okay, your commission actually makes them more money. So they first have to get that, and it sounds like they don't understand that. And what you would use to show them that, Yael, is the USA Today article that I know you have, the For Sale by Owner article that I just put in this month's magazine. That's the first thing I would do is they need to understand that you don't cost them anything. So whatever their house sells for, it's always going to be more than if they try to do it on their own. That's number one. Number two is with them taking a hit, they were never going to get that higher number to begin with because the price is determined by the market, and the market already says it's not worth that. So if they have to answer the question, how committed are they to selling? Are they committed to selling? They're committed to price. If they're committed to price, they ain't ever going to sell. They want more money, $12,000. Are they going to be a short sale at $12,000 less?
No.
Okay, so they're never going to see the $12,000. As a matter of fact, based on everything I gave you in this month's magazine,
free fucking class.
Everything that I gave you in this month's magazine, if they don't sell, whoever's talking right now, you should stop because I can hear you. So even if they take less, the $12,000, they're not taking less because they were never going to get the $12,000 in the first place. So they need to understand that too. The other thing is, let me see if I have this. That was it as far as my thoughts on that. The price is the price, and if it's not worth it, it's not worth it. So they have to wrap their brain around this. Just because you tried 12, it didn't work because the buyers say it's not worth it. So they're never going to see the 12. The other thing you got to show them is every day that their house stays on the market, they're losing money. And you can pull your MLS stats from that, okay? Now, the next thing real quick, yeah, because I want to get to this other email before our time is up, which is where we're basically up on our time. But I promise Wayne I would cover this. Here's what I recommend as far as being pulled in all different directions, Yael, is that you should categorize your life. Put your life in categories. So one category is the wedding. The other category might be prospecting. The other category may be your current sellers. Okay? So try and take your life and put them into groups. Then look at and create a separate to-do list in each one of these categories. So for the wedding, what are all the things that you have to do? Today you got to do the fitting. You got to do some other stuff. You got to make sure the tickets, you got a hotel reservation when you fly to L.A., blah, 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 blah. So make your to-do list there. Then do the same thing with the other categories for the next 30 days. And then sit down and schedule out what activities need to be done at these times. That's what I would do. Otherwise, you're going to keep getting pulled. Another approach is you can say from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, I'm going to worry about the wedding. From 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock, I'm going to worry about my current sellers. Now, if let's say at 8 o'clock, somebody calls you about the wedding, say, I'm not dealing with this until 9. 9 to 10 is the time that I worry about the wedding. 9 to 11, I don't care. But the point is schedule your categories as to when you're going to work and deal with that stuff. Does that make sense, Yael?
It makes sense, but you only have a son. You don't have a daughter. So that's okay.
Well, listen, I understand if your daughter's going to keep pulling you, but you asked me how to have it not pull you. That's how you have it not pull you.
No. It's a great idea. It's a great idea, and I got 1 week to go, and I will survive it.
You'll survive it. Yes, you will. Yes, sir. Who just called out? Yes.
Yael, this is Bill. Just to make it a little easier for you, I've got 6 people that can bake cakes, and you can try them all.
Oh, thank you.
All right, let me jump to Wayne. Here's the question. Wayne, you're on the call? Wayne, here is your question. Wayne basically was asking a question, how do I compete with a big listing office or big listing agent? So here's what I'm going to do, and then I'm going to send you guys off, okay? Number one, and I really like what I came up with here, I think. Wayne was asking about that these other agents do a shotgun approach. I'm just going to ignore this. Don't worry about it. Don't even talk shotgun, Wayne. It doesn't help you. But here's what you will say. Number one is bigger is not always better. See, the problem with some of these big agents that you're thinking about, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, it didn't help the dinosaurs, okay? The cockroaches, they survived, but not the dinosaurs. Bigger is not always better. As a matter of fact, bigger could be a problem. See, let's look at the medical field. You see, the medical field, you've got these clinics where people are coming in masses. If you've ever gone to a doctor's office that is set up like almost like a factory, like a clinic, they're not looking at quality, they're looking at quantity. They want to bring as many people in as possible, and that's how they make their profit. Well, I'm not a clinic. I'm not a doctor, a mass-producing doctor's office just trying to churn people out. My son, I bring him to an orthodontist. They've got a machine there. They've got like 12 chairs. Kids come in, they get the braces, beep, 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 twist, and then they send them out. It's like a factory. Mr. and Mrs. Hanna, I am not a clinic. What I am is a doctor that specializes, like I'd be like a heart surgeon. I specialize in people just like your situation to help get your property sold. You're not going to be part of the masses with me. I'm going to make sure that I focus on just you and what we need to accomplish. So, Wayne, that's how I would address that one, okay? All right, gang, so I'm a few minutes over, but I see most of you all stayed on the call. I want to thank you for staying on the call.
Hey,
the
Dale.
Best thing, yes.
Dale, before you go, I tried to log in to listen to last month's call on the website, and it's not working.
Do me a favor. Call if your username, password, call my office at the end of this call. For everybody, in order for you to get access to previous recordings, previous magazines, this month's magazine, you can't get in unless you're logged in. So your email, your username and email, your username and password was emailed to you, and so you should have it. If you don't have it or you're having a problem with it, then call my office when this call is over, and Sean will help you get through it, okay?
I was logged in. I've been a member for some months now, so I was logged into the system and everything. It's just that particular one isn't pulling up.
I understand. So I'll say it again. If you're having problems getting into the site, I want you to call my office after the call so Sean can help you one-on-one. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
I'm not going to handle this with you with the hundreds of people that are listening in right now.
Right.
You've got an individual thing. What?
I'm not having a hard time logging in. I can log into the site. It's just just last month's call specifically.
Good. So this is a specific problem you're having. Right?
No, I'm not. I don't know if it's a problem that I'm just having. Like, I can listen to all the other calls. Like, I can listen to the month before, but it's just that.
Oh, just last month's call, you can't. Well, what I'll do is, I appreciate you pointing that out. Let me make sure that I have my guy check it out, and then if maybe we have to reload the call, okay?
Okay.
Thank you very, very much. All right, gang. So listen, thanks for calling in this month, and make sure you email me your questions ahead of time so that way I can address them like we did this call. And next month I'll probably start with the questions so I can take care of you guys, and then we'll go to the magazine. And listen, the next September, last thing I want to say to you, September, this month we're moving into a very, very busy time, a good time of year. Listen to what I'm saying. The buyers that came out in the market during the summer months, some of them weren't real buyers. They were lookers. They were looking for a deal. They were kicking tires. And unfortunately, we don't really know until we work with them. So they kind of take time away from us in doing the productive things. Now we have school has started. We're starting to get into the colder weather. The point is that the more serious buyers come out during the school season and the cold weather. More serious sellers during the school year and during the holidays put their houses up for market. You're getting more serious buyers and sellers this time of year. How exciting. So if there is any time for you to pick it up, as Emerald would say, kick it up a notch, this is now the time. So keep pushing. Keep pushing. Get on the phones. Build your listing inventory. Show the properties. This is going to be a great, great last quarter for you all. All right. Thanks for calling. Go out there. Make a difference. Don't forget that we make a difference in people's lives, and the more people you help, the more money you make. Thank you, gang. I'll talk to you at the next call. All right. Bye-bye.